session number 13042, reel 1.
Mr. Sobolevsky, reel 1. Whereabouts were you born, please?
I was born in a place called Jeziorane, is a district of Tarnopol in eastern Poland.
Which year was that?
Beginning 1921.
What did your father do for a living?
My father was civil servant.
Did you go to school in the town of your birth?
I didn't, because we changed place, and I went to school in different places.
Where did you go?
I went to Skała Podolska. It was on the border with the Soviet Russia. And later to the secondary school I went in Borsów.
When did you join the forces?
I joined the forces in 1938, in September 1938.
What was your reason?
You see, it was when you went through secondary school, it was the reason if you wanted to go any further, not to interrupt, you just went and served in the army. So I just joined the army to serve 1 year and then have free for further education.
At that time in 38, did you expect that a war was just about to break out?
No, nobody expected. You see, although when I went to the army, it became the problem with the Sudetenland, and Poland took from Czechoslovakia the part it called Zaolzie. And that's when it was obvious that some international conflict is brewing. But I was too young, you know, to get really into politics.
How interested were you in the army?
Oh, I was just only to serve in the army. You see, army in Poland wasn't engaged in any politics. You see, it was just during the communist reign in Poland where army was the communist party. Before the war, army was serving just the nation.
What were you doing when war broke out?
When war broke up, you see, I was just before the war broke up, I was sent to I got my unit, 40th Infantry Regiment in Lvov. And with that unit, I went in 1939 to the front. You see, we had to withdraw from the western border because we were stationed just on the western border of Poland. And when German troops attacked from Czechoslovakia, we had to withdraw, and it was withdrawal during the night. During the day, you couldn't, because planes were attacking us all the time. Besides that, it was a problem on the road, because the civilian population was just getting from German. They were just running to the west. You got chaos on the roads, and it was practically impossible. Besides that, somebody had to fight with German as well. So it was during the day you were fighting, try to hold German, and during the night you just run to the east.
How much danger did you personally get into in those days?
You see, I didn't realize, you know, being very young man and being very young soldier, you didn't take care what happened. And besides that, I was rather patriotically motivated. So I know my friends, the same as I, they didn't bother for their safety at all. as I said, due to the young age and lack of any military experience, because after all, just few months training, it isn't experience.
Which places did you go to in those days of early September?
No, you see, we withdrew to Lvov, and that's where we hold it. We came to Lvov on the 12th of September, and we stopped because there was one group under the command of General Sostkowski. They were trying, and they gone to Hungary that way. And we were halted to defend Lvov, whether because it was the regiment originally based in Lvov, but we were held in Lvov. Now, we were until 22nd. Mind you, that was Friday. It must be 22nd of September. So that's 10 days we were fighting with German, not with Russian, because a Russian came on the 17th, but they came actually to Lvov around about 19th. So Lvov was half surrounded by German from the west, and then a Russian surrounded from east. Now, there was no military activities against the Soviet troops at that time, only with German. And then, as I said, is it 22nd or 24th? I think it was 24th. It was Friday. The Germans start withdrawing, and a Russian, evidently the commander of the garrison, General Lange, he surrendered Lvov to Soviet troops. Now, arrangements was that no prisoners would be taken. So I, with another two of my friends, being good soldiers, we lay our arms in Lvov. It was called old barracks, called Citadel. It was just like fortress. So we lay arms down there, and we started to walk. Anyway.
Walk where to?
You see, my idea was at that time, because I knew that part, because I was born in the east, and I knew that part. And it was only about 180 kilometers to the Romanian border. So my idea was to get to the to Romania. But we walked one night, day, and the following day, we were captured in Ternopil. That was the district city, the capital of the district. Not so much captured as everybody who was in uniform was sent to the station. So
by the Soviets?
By the Soviets, yes.
How were you arrested or intercepted by them?
That's what they say. We walked, it was about 120 kilometers. We walked to Ternopil, and then everybody in uniform was sent to the station. You see, that's what I say. I was too young and too young soldier, because for good soldier, and if I was older, there was quite a lot of civilian dresses. You could put civilian, that's it. And I was stick to the uniform. That's my greatest mistake. And you see, they sent us to the station. And now on the station, it was the officer, more or less a rank of the captain or something like that. He just announced that everybody who is going in direction Volochysk, which is on the Soviet border, get to that train. And there was some people gone, and quite a lot was left, especially those who wanted to go to the western part of Poland. So then his another announcement, he said, all those who want to go to the west, they have to go because bridges are smashed down here. They have to go different route. So get to the train. And you see, then there was just a few of us left. I said, why don't you on the train? So my reply was, I want to go to the south. Oh, he said, you can't go. You have to go just one or two stations. Then you will get the pass and you will get home. Now, as I told you previously, I was walking for 2 days and one night. I was so tired. And beside that, tired already, fighting all the time. So as soon as I got on the train, I was out, and when I opened my eyes, I was already in Soviet Russia. So you see, that was the camp, rather camp. It was the collective farm. They sent them there, it must be about 50,000 people. No food, nothing.
50,000 Poles?
Yes, about 50,000. You see, because that was main camp down there. It wasn't camp. It was the collective farm, just Soviet soldiers surrounded. And if you tried to get out, you would be shot. And that's it.
What was the name of this place?
Volochysk. You see, on the Polish border, it was Pod Volochysk. And on the Soviet is Volochysk. It was just divided, that town was divided by River Zbruch. It was the border on that river. And later on, that was Sunday morning, I remember, so it must be, I don't know. It was Sunday morning when I came down there. Then they organized the transport, the huge column, and they put us in the evening on the train, and off you go. I think we were on that train for about 5 or 6 days. They give us just only water and I believe one loaf of bread for 10 men. That's all daily ration. And when we came, station was called Hanovka. Now, I had no idea where we were at that time, but from that station, they took us again to the collective farm.
When you say us, were they all Polish army?
All Polish, all those prisoners they brought. You see, there was in that convoy, there was around about 1,500 men or something near. Now, there were some police officers. You see, they came, they were evacuated from the western part of Poland, from Silesia, in the coaches. And they were with the families. And they were captured with the families, and they were brought to that collective farm with the families. So, you see, then they were divided, the families, civilian the wives and children were sent into different buildings. And all of us, there was, they call it the barrack number 9 and number 10. What actually they were the pig styles. The roof was straw, which was rotten, and water was running through. And when we came down there, there was the mud, what pigs were living up to here. So we had to be there.
Above the ankle.
That's it. We have to clear it, whatever you can, with your bare hands. They can give anything just to clear it. And prepare the room for rest. So on the distance now, how big is that? That's about 20-odd feet. There was 30 of us laying one practically on top of the other, on the concrete, nothing. And I'm sorry, but it seems funny. But next to me was a professor from the laying. He was the reserve officer. And he was laying, and he had big tummy. So you see, if weather was pretty good, I was waiting until he went to sleep. Then I just sleep. It was a bit softer on his tummy. And if it was colder, I went first, so he covered me with his tummy. It's funny, but it was like that.
Is this Khanovka in Belarus?
No, it was on the Ukrainian. So you see, that's what I say. It's station. I didn't know. Until later on, one day they took us to move some timber from the station. And then I noticed one train was going Poltava and the opposite direction, Kharkov. So it was somewhere between Poltava and Kharkov. Now, from the working just outside, you could get some to now from the civilian population. It was called Kozelshchena, the place, Kozelshchena. Now, down there, you see, food was very scarce. So I was always volunteer to go and bring on my shoulder, you know, help to bring the food. What actually happened? It was the farm, and they planted down there quite a lot of sunflower. And then they press oil. Now, what was left, it was standing in that building where we were getting our food, so you could always pinch that because nobody guarded. And you know, if you are hungry, you will eat anything. And a few times I just got some of that for myself and for my friends, so we fill the stomach. I don't know what you call, but when you pulp, that's it, you see. So I was getting practically every day when we went down there. Okay, and that was for, I think it was late October when they start that camp moving. So they move us from those pig styles into a building which was church, or anyway, the church, the Orthodox church. And they were already prepared some, if you may call it, I don't know how to describe. It was 8 congregations. So you see, when you were sleeping on the top one, it was tropical atmosphere. When you were at the bottom, it was Siberia.
And in the church?
In the church. We were not...
They're
not beds, you see, it's the wooden construction. I don't know how to describe
shelves.
Just like shelves, yes. So, you see, we were not too long down there because they were preparing us in, I think it was beginning of November. They move us from Kozielszczyna, put us on the train. Everybody got a salted herring and piece of bread, and we were going. Now, we were going for another 5 days. And you see, you don't know which way you're going, but, you know, more or less just reading if there is bigger station, so you recognize the town or something, which way we're going. So on the end, we came to the station called Kozielsk. You see, I knew Russian language, probably not so fluently at that stage, but I could get around, could just talk to the people. And they told us that it is the Smolensky Oblast, which means the region of Smolensk. So we got from that train, and it was to the camp, about 8 miles. It was already cold, frosty, and we walked. We came to the camp. That camp was just on the outskirts of the woods. But we didn't stop down there. They sent us inside in the woods. What actually happened? Later on, we discovered that there are 2 camps. Now, it used to be the Russian Orthodox Church, how to say, one was sanctuarium, that was the outside that woods, and inside, about 5 miles inside woods, it was for the monks. Monks, they were living down there, that before the revolution.
A monastery.
Just like monastery, yes. During the revolution, or after the revolution, they converted that into holiday camps for the working class people. And then they sent us down there. So there were 2 camps. One was called Monastir, so that's where the main camp, and the other one was called Skit, is actually, as you said, it is the monastery inside in the woods. So we were taken, around about 1,500 of us, we were taken into that monastery. Now, there were some wooden buildings. It's rather difficult to say. They were not actually huts, but the wooden construction buildings. And we were in those buildings. Now, I was in number 10. That was the last. It was the nearest to the gate and to the guard room. You see, there was no heating in that temperature. That year, temperature dropped down over 40 under the freezing point, and there was no heating whatsoever. But you see, in the small room, there was 12 of us. There were just those shelves. They were really shelves. You couldn't sit on that. You were just like in catacombs. You know, it can be pushed, and all night there was light. I don't know whether they deliberately left You see, the, you couldn't switch it off. Or probably, what do you call the insects? They suck.
Lice?
No, not lice. No, lice never, but you see those, they're just walking, they hide in the wood.
Bugs.
And they drop straight on your nose. And you see, that protects, because if it is light, they're not coming. So, you see, there was a room was about, I think it will be less than a quarter of this. And there was 12 of us. Now, we hardly do any work down there. You see, from time to time, they volunteer to do some work on the station or something like that. But we always volunteer because when we went, we could always find something, could buy something. But when you got 1,500 men, hungry men, you can't find anything. So we were going, and if you work on the station, you know, unloading something, they always given us extra macaroni. That was something you were getting. Then one day they asked even for more young men, especially cadet officers, to go and do some work. Now, what was it? To dig some ditches. And they were about, I should say, around about 15 meters by 4. And it was hard to dig because it was all frozen. But anyway, we were digging whatever we could. And we were digging that for over 3 weeks.
What was the purpose of the trenches?
I never realized what it was. That was probably the same what happened in cutting. We were preparing graves. And one day, despite that frost, they took all our camp, all from that skit. They took inside in the woods, quite deep in the woods. And they, that's their method, you know, so nobody escape. You just put your legs like that, and another one is sitting in front
between
of you.
Legs.
Between your legs and between your, so you see, nobody could get up. And they kept us down there about 4 hours, you know, all guards with the machine guns and all that. And you are prepared for everything at that. So we didn't really, I don't know even now what purpose it was, why they brought us over there. They kept us for about 4 hours and then brought us back into the camp.
Were all the people in your huts officers or just...
No, in my huts there was only one. There was one, Captain Moss. All others, they were cadet officers. They were young.
Can you remember the names of any others?
Look, I can... you see, I just lately found that he was actually killed. Wilde Brulinski.